Lecture topic, lessons to take on Ashura.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Sadaqallahul azim. Most respected ulama-i-kiram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala, out of His grace and mercy, has brought about numerous opportunities for us to keep turning to Him, reminding ourselves of what is our object in life, where we are headed to, and to give us opportunities to clean our deed, book of deeds, from the mistakes that we have made, the wrongs that have been recorded therein. It's all Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah Ta'ala's mercy. The month of Ramadan came, there were numerous opportunities, every moment was a great opportunity. And then the last 10 days came with even greater opportunities. Then the month of Ramadan passed, it was all the days of Hajj. And then came the very Mubarak days of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah. And then the day of Arafah. And that has hardly passed. And now we have been again blessed with an opportunity that He is at our doorstep. The occasion of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, which is another very virtuous and Mubarak day. So these have become Mubarak occasions because Allah Ta'ala made it so. The times that are filled with virtue and blessing, the places that have been blessed with additional virtue, is all because Allah Ta'ala made it so. So why did Allah Ta'ala put these additional virtues in these times and places? So these will provide these points of reflection. It will become a means of a person stopping and taking note, where am I headed to? Not just a matter of earning rewards and carrying on, but also a time to stop and think. Why am I taking this opportunity? Because I want to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. The day when there's so much of extra virtue for fasting, for example, the 10th of Muharram. The 10th of Muharram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast. And then when he came to Madina Munawwara, he continued fasting. This was the one day in the year, initially, which was compulsory to fast. Before the month of Ramadan, the fast of the month of Ramadan became compulsory. This was the one day in the year which was compulsory to fast. And then when the month of Ramadan became compulsory, this then became nafil. The obligation was no more applicable. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept this fast, and then still the virtue of it was maintained. The one who fasts on the day of Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, yukaffiru sanat al-madiya, will compensate for all the minor sins of the past year, which to say is a very simple thing. To hear about it is even more simple. But to realize what it is all about, then on the day of Qiyamah, the person will realize what this means. On that day when he will be desperate for his forgiveness, on that day the realization will be there, that what does this mean? In any case, all this is Allah Ta'ala's special grace, special virtue, special mercy and kindness upon His servants. And Allah Ta'ala blessed us with these opportunities. So on the one side, it is our good fortune that we take advantage of it. So it's not farz, not wajib. But when a person has some opportunity for some material gain, then he doesn't say it's not farz or wajib. Doesn't say, well, this is now, time is up now, so I got to close up now, it's 5 o'clock. If this customer now came, and I know this customer might spend a very big sum, it might be enough profit for the what I earn in the whole month, I can get from this one person. So at that time, No person in his straight mind will say, look, time is up now. He'll say, welcome. And if that person says, it seems like you are leaving, I don't want to disturb you, he say, don't worry, no disturbance at all. He says, but you might get delayed and late. He says, no delay and no late. It's all, everything is for you now. Why? Because there's some material gain coming. So for that material gain, for that profit, for the profit of dunya, the person will undertake all these difficulties, time, whatever else. And supposing if he came back home late that day, he came half an hour late, and wife was upset now, don't you see the time? Because he didn't even mention in that excitement why he got late, or that he's going to be late. So now there was some little bit of tension. But now when he mentions that I took extra half an hour because I came, this extra customer came, what we earn from him in that half an hour is more than what we earn in the whole month. So suddenly all the tension is gone. And then it will be subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Why? Because of that material gain. So all that question about, but can't you see the time, and don't you know it's late, and don't you anything, nothing. And he says, but he was wanting to buy more, but I told him, no, I'm getting late now, wife is waiting. He said, Are, where you thought like that? Who taught you to think in that manner? If another half an hour went in serving him, what harm would have done? So now all that suddenly becomes very easy to undertake. Why? Because of some material gain. For the material gain, any extra time, any extra effort, all these things become very easy. Allah Ta'ala is giving us an opportunity for additional gain in the akhirat, which the whole world can't even compare to one bit of that gain of the akhirat. The whole world is nothing compared to it. On the one hand, this is an opportunity to take advantage from. But then the other part of it is, it's not just for the sake of passing through it. Fine, we, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's fazal, maybe we made the effort, somebody took the effort of fasting. Alhamdulillah is nafil, but he made the effort, he kept a fast. Then likewise, he engaged himself in amal, etc. So very good, this is excellent. But these are meant to become times to reflect on our lives and also come back to Allah Ta'ala. That is what's all about. That if we come back to our Rabb, not just, well, I did something for the sake of doing it, or well, I tick the box. No, how close did I get to Allah Ta'ala? So, that is the point that we have to reflect on. These opportunities are not just there to pass by it. So this is one very important aspect that we should try to take advantage of it. Because Allah knows best what's left of our life. Whether another year would come, another Ashura would come or not, whether this comes also, we have no idea. Whatever opportunities we have, we try to take advantage of it. Then the other aspect is that this particular day, the 10th of Muharram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept fast on this day from even before coming to Madinah Munawwara. Then when he came to Madinah Munawwara, he continued fasting. He encouraged the Sahaba, gave them the virtue. So this was ongoing. And towards the latter part of his time in Madinah Munawwara, in the last year of his life in Madinah Munawwara, the Sahaba Ikram brought it to his attention that the Yahud are fasting on this day as well. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from them, why do you fast? So now this was not even known beforehand. Muslims are fasting. This was not even known that the Yahud are fasting also. So now that it became known, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired from them, what's the reason you fast? They said, well, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala gave him salvation from Fir'aun and his army. It was the 10th of Muharram. So since this great blessing came to Musa alayhi salam on this day, as a thanksgiving, as a means of shukr to Allah Ta'ala, we fast on this day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Nahnu ahaqqu wa awla bi Musa minkum. We are more worthy of Musa alayhi salam and closer to him than you. Yours is just lip service. In reality, it's just, you claim to follow him, you claim to revere him and respect him, but in reality, you do the opposite. What guidance he left for you, you don't follow that. Part of the guidance he left for you, that the last Nabi of Allah will come, you must follow him. That you don't do. So in any case, the point is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this to them. But then he said to the Sahaba-i-Kiram, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلٍ. If I remain alive till next year, this time, then I will also fast on the 9th. The 10th is already happening, but I will fast on the 9th as well. Why? So that this little outer resemblance, there was no emulation, because nobody was fasting because of the Yahud. They didn't even know they're fasting. But now it just created some kind of outer resemblance. Even that too was not left at that. That, well, we are fasting from long before, and it doesn't matter now whether they're fasting or not, because we're not doing it because of them. Even that little outer resemblance was not left as it is. That too was broken by adding an additional fast, that now this outer resemblance doesn't remain anymore. Now, to that extent, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to maintain our identity as Muslims. And not to be taken from the Yahud and Nasara anything, not to even resemble them in any way. And this resemblance, it can happen either way, meaning it can start from either side. Sometimes the thing gets, first the rot starts inside, and then gradually the rot becomes visible outside too. Sometimes a fruit or whatever, it starts rotting inside. From outside it looks perfect. If somebody has to cut into it, they'll realize outside it was looking so good, but inside is already rotten. So sometimes it happens from inside out. And sometimes you see something, well, whatever, some other fruit was alongside it, and that was already rotting. So that affected the outside of this fruit first. From the outside, now the rot went inside. Sometimes it happened from inside out, and sometimes from outside in. Now both ways, in any case, the rot set in. Now in the case of our hearts, sometimes, because of what a person was exposed to, what he read, what he heard, what he keeps listening to, the kind of talk that he keeps listening to, so that through the ears, the corruption sets directly in the heart. Now, when the heart gets corrupted, the mindset gets corrupted, then gradually this rot will come outside as well. Now, in various actions, the person will be emulating the Yahud and Nasara. He'll be finding some kind of enjoyment in going about things in their way. He will abandon the Sunnah, and he'll find that to be more attractive to him. Now imagine, what for what? Person especially, mashallah, Allah give him in tawfiq sometimes, up front already he was practicing many things in terms of the Sunnah, and now some corruption set in. Now he's going in reverse. So now what is he leaving out to take what? He's leaving out the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the way of his arch enemies, for the way of Yahud. Taking what and leaving what? So now that rot set in inside, it's now coming onto the surface, and in it's manifesting itself in so many things in life. And sometimes the heart is fine still, the person realizes, he understands what's correct, what's wrong, he has all this consciousness. But now because he's in a certain circle, because of where he's going, so now he puts some rot outside. Now he's dressing in a way that resembles, emulates the Yahud fully. Muslimah is now dressing up, you can't make out whether it's a Muslimah or Yahudiya. I say, no, it's just clothing, but this is rotten clothing. But that rotten clothing is not going to stay on the surface. That rot will get inside. It will erode the haya from the heart. The haya will be lost. That modesty and shame will be all gone. Then it doesn't matter now whether somebody is appearing in that shameless manner in front of their children, their grown-up sons, in front of one's father, out in public. The whole system mindset is gone. And when this happens, then the heart becomes blind. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, it's not the eyes that become blind, but the hearts become blind. Now when the heart becomes blind, just as if the eyes are blind, then physical filth. Person says, what's, I can't see anything. So you can't see it because you can't see. How are you going to see it? You don't have sight. He says, no, it's all dirt around you. All kind of muck and mess is around you. But I can't see anything. He says, because you can't see, obviously. You're not going to see it. You don't have vision. You don't have sight. So likewise, when the inside gets blinded, the inner vision is lost. The spiritual sight is lost because of the corruption that set in. So now the things that are physically filthy, dirty, that are spiritually filthy and dirty, person can't see anything in it. Can't see that this is shameless. Cannot see that this is harmful and detrimental to my deen, to my akhirat. There's a blindness. There's an inner blindness. When the inner blindness is there, you can't make out what's what. Anything goes, everything goes. Any kind of talk goes. What's wrong with it? Everybody talks like this. But that is behaya. It is lacking any modesty and shame in that kind of talk. See, now this is all old stories about, like, because the heart is blind. So everything just seems like, let's dismiss it. What's in there? When there's blindness, person walks anywhere, it tramps any filth, but he can't see. Inner blindness, so you can't see spiritually what's what. So for innaha la ta'amal absar, walakin ta'amal qulubul lati fi sudur. So now on this occasion, there's so many things that are being taught to us. One is the virtue which we should be making the effort to take the benefit of it, to take the great rewards, to try and get our sins forgiven, make tawbah istighfar. But at the same time, there are these big lessons for us. To hold on to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, distance ourselves from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara. And especially in the times that we are living in, where this blatant attack is on deen, on Islam, on the Muslims, and from the same quarters, and no more now in that subtle way, in that roundabout way, behind the scenes, open and blatant. And now in this time and in this way, in this situation, when there's such a blatant attack on everything about deen and Islam, and now to still embrace their ways, to still feel very attracted to their way, this is really very, very tragic, but it stems from that same blindness within. You have to bring the heart alive with the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, with tawbah, with istighfar, with true zikr, and reading about the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that it will kindle his love and his mahabbah in our hearts. Read about his sacrifices that he made for the ummah, those unimaginable sacrifices, so that we could be sitting in the house of Allah Ta'ala today, taking Allah Ta'ala's name. And read over and over again. We've read many other things. Time to start spending time in reading what's going to really impact positively on our hearts. Read about the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the sahaba ikram, of the pious people, so that this makes an impact on our heart, it brings it alive. When it becomes alive, then now the eyes will become alive as well, the inner sight, the inner vision will come to life again. Now it will be able to see and distinguish between what is good and bad, what is beneficial and harmful. In any case, this is a very, very important lesson which we should be reflecting on and making the effort to get closer to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every facet of life, in our homes, in all things that we do. Try to be conscious about what is the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this. Then there's another very great virtue on this Mubarak occasion. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man wassa'a ila ala iyalihi yawma ashura, wassa'a Allahu alayhi sanata kullaha." The one who will be generous upon his family on this day, Allah Ta'ala will be generous upon him throughout the year. So now one is the virtue again. The virtue. Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah, very, very great muhaddis, very great scholar, contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. We're talking about a personality of that era and a very great personality. He says, "I have practiced on this year in and year out, and I've only found the barakah and blessings pouring in." This is, after all, the prescription Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. So we should practice on it. This doesn't require a person going beyond his means. But within his means, spending something more in the meal of that day, in feeding his family, that too will earn him the virtue. He doesn't have to go anything beyond to go and put himself in any difficulty within his means. And it's neither part of to try to earn this virtue that now a person has to buy some expensive gifts for everybody. Spending upon the meal of that day, spending something more, something little bit more luxurious maybe in terms of the meal that is provided, that is enough to earn the virtue of this day. In any case, this is the virtue, but at the same time, it's teaching us not just to be generous on one day and forget about it. Again, these occasions come with virtues, but leave great lessons for us. That Allah Ta'ala has made this such a great opportunity to gain from His blessings. How? By being generous. So this lesson of generosity is being taught, that this should be an ongoing thing. Yes, certain occasions it will increase. Like it is mentioned about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was the most generous person at all times. Generosity is actually something in the heart. Generosity is not in the hand. Generosity is in the heart. But when the heart is generous, then it will move the hand. So the heart is generous, the person only has 10 rands that he owns, the last 10 rands, nothing else. But the heart is generous, his hand will still move to spend maybe 1 rand from the 10. He only spent 1 rand of the 10. 1 rand, he gave 1 rand. And somebody else spent maybe 100,000. But the person who spent 100,000, mashallah, that's a tremendous thing. But he spent out of 10 million. So 100,000 out of 10 million. So what's the percentage? Now, nowadays, everybody is, without the calculator, we can't even add single digits. We're going to work out the percentage of 100,000 from 10 million. So now, what he spent, the quantity was much. But it was 0.1%. And this person spent 10%. From 10 rands, he spent 1 rand. The quantity was only 1 rand. His generosity was greater. That person's spending was greater. Because he spent according to what he had. And this person's generosity, he gave away 10%. Allah will reward each according to his grace. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 10 dirhams. And he needed to buy one upper garment, one chadar, one shawl or sheet. So he went and purchased one sheet for 4 dirhams. As he came along, one person was standing there. He said, "Please, I need a sheet." Rabbi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed that sheet and gave it to him. Then he went back to purchase another sheet for 4 dirhams. And he purchased that sheet for 4 dirhams. He wore it. Now he had 2 dirhams left. And he was returning. Now the two dirhams might have been required for some food or whatever. So as he's coming, somebody is now, one one slave woman, one slave girl is crying. She's weeping. But what's the problem? She says, my master had given me 2 dirhams to go and buy some flour. I don't know what happened to it. I lost it. So now I'm going to be beaten. That was the time of Jahiliyyah, and many people had just come from Jahiliyyah. So now this was how people were treated, slaves were treated, without any care, without any compassion and kindness. And unfortunately, some of these things still linger on, maybe in different ways. Maybe it's no more physical beatings that take place, but many a times it's emotional beatings. In the way that people are treated, with the vulgarity that they are treated, with the way that they are exploited, these are things that are far away from how a mu'min should be conducting himself. We have akhirat in front of us. We are going to have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala and give an account of our deeds. In any case, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave her those 2 dirhams. He said, you go and buy what you have to buy. He said, but now I'm still afraid that by the time I get back, I've delayed so much, I'm still going to be in trouble with them. He said, well, you go and buy what you needed to buy, and I will come along to come and intercede on your behalf to your masters. In any case, that's what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. He went along, and when they wanted to, they saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they were really surprised and inquired what brought him on this occasion now. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that she is now very afraid. You are going to punish her. They said, no, we're not going to punish her anymore. They forgave everything. They said, now we are freeing her. She's a free person. Because you have interceded on her behalf, we cannot now do anything less in fulfilling what your intercession requires. We are freeing her. She's a free person. But now this one incident alone teaches us so many things. What kind of generosity and heart? So now this is the lesson that is being given to us on this occasion, the lesson of generosity. Now generosity, generally our understanding of generosity is very confined. Confined to what? To be generous in terms of spending wealth. That is obviously a very important generosity. And that's a very great generosity. And that too has a sequence that should be undertaken. A sequence. Sequence of what? In the Hadith Sharif, we are taught this sequence. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that dirhamun anfaqtahu fi sabilillah. 1 dirham you spent in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Dirhamun anfaqtahu fi raqabatin. 1 dirham you spent in helping to free a slave. Very great reward. وَدِرْهَمٌ تَصَدَّقْتَ بِهَا عَلَى مِسْكِينٍ. Another 1 dirham you spent upon some poor person. You gave him sadaqah. وَدِرْهَمٌ أَنْفَقْتَهُ عَلَى أَهْلِكَ. Another dirham you spent in fulfilling the requirements of your family. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then says, the dirham which will earn the greatest reward is the dirham you spent on your family. The dirham that will earn the greatest reward is the dirham you have spent on the needs of your family. Now when a person spends on the needs of his family, part of that benefit comes to him also. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that the greatest reward of these 4 different dirhams, all will be rewarding. All will earn reward as long as it's done with ikhlas, done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, no ulterior motives involved, all will earn reward. But now often we want to earn reward, that is the motivation behind an action. But we forget the priorities. And the greatest reward is in the priorities. The different matter that there shouldn't be extravagance, wastage is out of the question, but in making one's family comfortable, within reasonable means, and especially fulfilling the basic needs. So this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this carries the greatest reward. Now many a times, one is one's own wife, children, but then in the immediate circle, his parents, his immediate relatives, if there's somebody needy in his immediate circle, and even if they're not needy, but they will be, it will be of help to them, that will earn far greater reward than spending elsewhere. Far greater reward. But now many a times a person spends zero in these avenues. And he will spend much elsewhere, but it doesn't affect him in any way that this was my priority. This was first. Make these people comfortable. Spend far away, but forget the near ones. So the most reward is on that dirham which he spent on his own family. Subhanallah. But yes, again, extravagance, that shouldn't be the case. And wastage is out of the question. So this generosity is being taught to us in this situation. So one is generosity of wealth. That too has the sequence. And then wherever Allah gives us tawfiq in all the avenues of goodness, to try and spend something wherever we can. But generosity is not confined to wealth and spending of wealth. There's generosity in different avenues and forms. For example, just to touch on a few things, time is already running out. Generosity in words. Generosity in words? What kind of generosity is this? In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةٌ وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ A good word is sadaqa. Now when we talk of sadaqa, we understand generosity. We say now we must give some sadaqa, you know, be generous. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, a good word will earn the reward of sadaqa. Good word is jazakallah, a small word in terms of his goodness, such a great word. How often is that jazakallah said and heard within the four walls of our own home? Everything is just taken for granted. If the husband did something, it's taken for granted. Well, he's supposed to do it. And if the wife did something for the husband, that's taken for granted too. How often he said jazakallah for the meal that was presented? How often do our children hear jazakallah from us? Asked to bring something, the child brought it and came, oh, you keep it there. That was the end result of it, keep it there. So, jazakallah? So, jazakallah got no place in our vocabulary, in our home, that barakat of jazakallah mustn't come. Alhamdulillah, masha'Allah. Are these not kalimatu tayyiba? And some word of, just some bringing happiness to the heart of a mu'min. Some word of goodness. Really, this was, I really enjoyed this meal. Now, why must I say it? Oh, I appreciate it in my heart. Subhanallah, I appreciated it in my heart. So then it'll mean everybody else must have kashf around you. Be able to see your heart. How else are they going to know that you appreciated it? So what is the purpose of giving such great virtue to saying jazakallah and shukriya and expressing that gratitude and giving words of dua? Because people are not expected to have kashf. That is meant to be expressed. What's in the heart is good for us. It's not good for anybody else. So these things are wal kalimatu tayyibatu sadaqatun. But this, and what effort it takes. What effort it takes to say a good word. How much money did it cost? Where did a person have to go out for to do it? To go and give some sadaqah to a poor person, mashallah, is a very great thing. But that required some additional effort. He had to leave his home, he had to get somewhere, maybe buy something, go and give it and deliver it somewhere. Alhamdulillah. And those who take the effort to do this, it's a very great amal. Allah Ta'ala reward them. But that kalimatu tayyibah didn't require any of these processes and this lengthy effort. While sitting in the comfort of one's home, he could be fulfilling this kalimatu tayyibah and getting the reward of sadaqah, and no time, no money, it costs, no effort really. But just lost out. So now this generous, when the heart is generous, it will be generous in good words also. And when there's miserliness in the heart, that it will manifest itself in these occasions also. It will be very difficult to say something of some shukriya to somebody. Maybe to somebody else we got some kind of some interest involved in it, that if this person now, I really welcome him nicely and really tell him thank you for all his business and so on, he'll come again. So now the thank you is for what? And I really appreciate your coming and so on is for what? It's for his money. It's not for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And here Allah is, we are being taught to do things for Allah Ta'ala. And this kalimatu tayyiba for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Wal kalimatu tayyibatu sadaqatun. And the ones who are most deserving of this sadaqah are the ones who are closest to us. Our own near and dear ones. They are most deserving of this sadaqah. And the sadaqah is our own. We're getting the reward of it. But this kalimatu tayyiba, it has a tremendous impact on the heart of a person. Which is not necessarily going to be seen and known immediately, but it does a wonders for the heart. Now we want that happiness, we want that peace, we want that good feelings, but we go around without any acknowledgement of anything, without saying anything that will bring happiness to the heart of a mu'min. This bringing happiness to the heart of a mu'min, even with some few words, this is among the greatest ibadats. إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. After the farais, one of the greatest ibadats is to bring happiness to the heart of a mu'min. Obviously, happiness to the heart of a mu'min in a way that Allah is pleased. Not by crossing the line of deen. So now that, does it occur to us? Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Padar Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, the last day of his time on earth, so one of his those satis, somebody was ill, and he was staying in a room where you had to climb some steps. But Ma said, no, we're going to go visit him. So somebody said, oh, he's not too well. And now you're going to have to climb all these steps. He said, no, to bring happiness to the heart of a mu'min is ibadat. We'll go up, he'll get happy. And this was perhaps hours before he passed away. And they were probably, you lose count if you had to find out from how many times and how many occasions people heard this from him directly, that he did something. Why? Well, it will bring happiness to the mu'min. And it took some effort on his side. It undertook some difficulty upon himself. But by undertaking this difficulty, it will bring happiness to the heart of a mu'min. Now again, the priority, those who are closest to us. They are most deserving of this idkhalu sururi fi qalbil mu'min. Bringing happiness to the heart of a mu'min. The ones who are closest to us. Our own kith and kin, our parents, our children, our immediate family, the wider circle, but all within the limits of Shariat. All within the limits of the commands of Allah Ta'ala, not outside that. Then, another hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةٌ. Smiling at your fellow Muslim is sadaqah. So now a person walks in home, that's where he's supposed to smile. Out there, the non-mahrams obviously is not supposed to smile, mustn't smile. He doesn't have to be rude and be abrupt with anybody, but that's not the place of smiling at any person. The place to smile is in his house. The place to smile is for a Muslim brother to smile at his Muslim brother with ikhlas for Allah's pleasure. For a Muslim sister to smile at a Muslim sister for Allah's pleasure. And when a person gets home, to smile at his wife. And the wife to smile at the husband. These are the okay. And this is sadaqah. To smile at his children. Not that I had a hard day, so everybody's going to have it harder now. That is zulm. I had a hard day, and I'm going to bring cheer to everybody. I'll feel good also. Otherwise, I'm going to make it harder for myself also. I'm not going to make it any easier for myself. So these are the beautiful teachings of our deen, and how wonderful these teachings are, that by undertaking these things which we ourselves benefit from, yet we're getting rewarded with sadaqah. The benefit is back coming to us, but we are getting rewarded with sadaqah. This is Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon us, Allah Ta'ala's kindness and His generosity upon us. The lives of the pious, they're filled with all these generosities and so much more. The incidents are beyond what we can think. Their hearts were so brimming with this generosity. Generosity then manifested itself in how forgiving they were. The generous heart could just forgive. And that miserly heart will hold back. Very hard to let go. But the generous heart, it will be generous in all these aspects. Generous in forgiveness. Generous in good words. Generous in saying things that will bring happiness to people. Generous in that smile. And obviously generous in the blessings that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, sharing that with others. Qais bin, just to finish off on this one incident that comes to mind now, Qais bin Ubadah bin Samit, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala an, his son. So he got sick. When he got sick, he just realized many of my friends who I would have expected that they would have come to visit me because maybe he was sick for a bit of extended time, maybe a little bit more sick. He expected that they would come and see him, but he realized nobody came. So he asked somebody, what happened? Meaning, are people upset with me or something? For that purpose, that if I have done something that I've offended anybody, I need to sort that out. He said, no, you didn't offend anybody. People are actually feeling embarrassed to come. Embarrassed what? There's so many people, almost everybody out there, is owing you so much of money which they have delayed in paying because they didn't manage to do so. Now they have been trying to avoid coming face to face with you because now they're owing you so much. He heard this and he said, "Akhzakallahu malan," may Allah curse such wealth that deprives one of his friends. He called somebody, he said, you go out in the place and announce to everybody, whoever owes, pays anything, it's all written off. So that person went around and announced. He said that day so many people came to visit him, the doorstep of his house broke. There was such traffic in and out that the doorstep must have been wooden, a wooden doorstep. So maybe it was a little bit now giving in somewhere, but it was fine. But now the excessive traffic in that one day finally broke it. But now what hearts these people had. We are not being asked to go anywhere to that level. We can't manage it. We shouldn't try it also. Because we'll do it today, we'll cry tomorrow. So we shouldn't try it. But within our limits, within our levels, let us open our heart out. Within our level, let us take a step forward. We don't jump too far ahead. But we should always be trying to take a step forward. One step at a time. And one step at a time will open the way to take many steps that we will be able to manage and get closer to Allah Ta'ala. And all these things, the reality of it, what it brought for us, what goodness it brought, all this one is in dunya also that barakat will come. But at the time of maut, that is the time this will come to our assistance. In the qabr, that is where this will come to our help. And on the day of qiyamah, that is where this will count in our favor. And this will take us to jannat, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we take advantage of these great opportunities that have come and whatever amal we can do, inshallah, we try. But together with that, we take these very important lessons to heart. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Beside Guru Sharif. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا
على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 Allah, 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 Allah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallam tasliman kathiran. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين إله العالمين يا الله oh most merciful most gracious most kind most loving Allah إله العالمين يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive us يا الله يا الله forgive our families يا الله forgive our friends and relatives يا الله Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, shower your maghfirat on the ummah, ya Allah. Shower your rahmat on the ummah, ya Allah. Allahumma ghfir li ummati sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma arham ummata sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma tajawaz an ummati sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma hdi wa aslih ummata sayyidina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين يا الله يا الله make us your true and obedient servants يا الله make us your loyal servants يا الله يا الله make us the true ummatis of نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم إله العالمين put the love of his mubarak way of life in our hearts يا الله enable us to live his mubarak sunnah يا الله save us from the ways of the يهود and نصارى يا الله إله العالمين يا الله Allah grant us istiqamat on deen, ya Allah. Allah enable us to fulfill all the requirements of deen, ya Allah. Enable us to fulfill our ibadat correctly, ya Allah. Our mu'amalat and mu'asharat correctly, ya Allah. Our akhlaq properly, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah, you cleanse our hearts out of all the evils, ya Allah. Grant us firm iman, ya Allah. Grant us yaqeen, ya Allah. Grant us taqwa, ya Allah. Grant us tawakkul, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, fill our hearts with your love, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love of deen, ya Allah. With the love of the amal of deen, ya Allah. With the love of the efforts of deen, ya Allah. Accept us and our progeny till qiyamah for the khidmat of deen, ya Allah. With ikhlas, with afiyat, with qabooliyat, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Allah grant us, ya Allah, all the beautiful and noble akhlaq of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with generosity, ya Allah. Enable us to live every aspect of life with generosity, ya Allah. Ilahul alameen, ya Allah. Grant us all the beautiful and noble qualities, ya Allah. And all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Allah, those who are in hospitals, Ya Allah, give them complete shifa and afiyat, Ya Allah. Bring them back to their homes with complete afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, those in any financial difficulties, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's rizq, Ya Allah. Grant abundant halal and tayyib rizq filled with barakat, Ya Allah. Save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Whatever anxiety, sorrow, grief, worry, depression people are suffering, Ya Allah. Allah, out of your grace and mercy, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Allah, grant itminan and sukoon to the hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, unite the hearts for your pleasure, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of spouses, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of families, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, unite all on the path of haq, Ya Allah. On the path that you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, all the, Ya Allah. Allah, in every effort of deen, Ya Allah, grant barakat, Ya Allah, accept it, Ya Allah, make it a means of hidayat, Ya Allah, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any pain, difficulty, hardship, Allah, you grant them afiyat, Ya Allah, grant each one afiyat in deen, Ya Allah, afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah, Allah, save us from all trials and tribulations, Ya Allah. Allah, we are too weak, Ya Allah. Allah, we acknowledge all our sins, Ya Allah. We acknowledge our, Ya Allah, disobedience, Ya Allah. We acknowledge all the wrongs we have done, Ya Allah. Allah, we are still begging your forgiveness, Ya Allah, and begging safety from all trials and tribulations, Ya Allah. Allah, we are too weak, Ya Allah. Allah, don't put us to trial, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, we beg your afiyat, Ya Allah. We beg your afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Allah, don't put us to trials in our deen, Ya Allah. Don't put us to trials in our dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us afiyat in our families, Ya Allah. Afiyat in our children, Ya Allah. Afiyat in every matter, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, throughout the world, wherever the Muslims are, any suffering, Ya Allah. Remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, our brothers and sisters of Palestine, Ya Allah. Allah, you shower your special fazal on them, Ya Allah. Special karam on them, Ya Allah. Shower your rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Allah, remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Allah, you strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. Allahumma kun lahum mu'inan wa nasira. اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف يا الله you grant them victory over their enemies يا الله يا الله grant the enemy هداية يا الله if هداية is not decreed for them يا الله wipe them out from the face of this earth يا الله اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت الله العالمين يا الله all those who asked us to make dua for them all who have raised their hand to this dua Allah fulfill each one's jais needs يا الله pious aspirations يا الله fulfill it يا الله remove each one's difficulties and hardships يا الله grant each one barakat يا الله grant each one afiyat يا الله Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. Make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to shun the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant us istiqamat on deen and iman till our last breath, Ya Allah. Take us with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with perfect iman, Ya Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, give us Jannatul Firdaus without any reckoning, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله